Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Here on The Fan, see Sparky Pfeiffer, along with former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson, former Packer safety, inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Packer Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist Leroy Butler with us as well as we broadcast live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. All your plumbing needs, check them out at GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. See Sparky Pfeiffer here, executive producer Dan Plucker over there. The show back together again after my week-long hiatus. Happy to be back
hey,
in the
Steve,
studio. Yes.
You know how white people are always looking for like Sasquatch.
Oh, jeez. Why you gotta do that?
Like the Yeti. Was it true you was in the building yesterday? That's just one of those conspiracy theories, people just looking
no,
and didn't really see you. You know, you say, oh, I saw Bigfoot, but it was a bear.
No, was I stopped in. Yes, I did stop in yesterday at like 5 o'clock.
And why on your birthday?
Because when we went to Kay's mom's house up north, Logan had got done with baseball practice at The Rock. So in order to save time versus going all the way back to Oak Creek, we just dropped his baseball equipment in my office. And then went up north, and then he had a practice yesterday, so we stopped here to pick up his baseball equipment, and then went straight to practice.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, all right.
So it was just an attempt to save time.
Gary, are you all right? Are you all right with that? Him doing that because you seem to be bothered.
I never had a problem with it.
Yes, you did. Go listen to the show, radio.com app, rewind it.
You always bring stuff like that up. What is he doing? You know, he's Sparky working.
I wasn't working. I was just stopped and got some stuff.
You got that many khakis. You got to put them to work, man.
Dropped off some
disinfectant. Put the khakis on in the car and went inside.
Dropped off some disinfectant wipes for everybody, too. So that I'm sure everybody's
there. You go. He's thinking about everybody, Leroy. Look at disinfectant wipe. Look at that man. He's a team player, man. Look at that man. Get off that man's jock scrap.
Try not to.
Go ahead with the show, man.
Scrap.
Okay, coming up on today's show, 245, Brad Sellers, former Bulls and
We got some changes.
I got it. I think I've got it. Dan Plucker told me. I think I've got it. If I'm wrong, tell me when I'm wrong.
Okay, watch what I'm telling you right now. You might be wrong on Brad Sellers.
Oh, you moved Brad Sellers, too. He only told me about the 3 o'clock guest.
Well,
okay,
situation. It's a fluid situation as of, like, right now. Seriously. It's just crazy.
Well, I don't know, Leroy. I walked in. Plucker comes running in here. Did you hear we got somebody at 3 o'clock? So I was going down the rundown like it is and adding the 3 o'clock guest. And now Gary says, well, not so fast. So, Gary, who's on the show today, Gary?
So here's what we're doing. So we're moving Brad Sellers from 248 to 235 because Mark Murphy, what's his title, Steve?
President of your Green Bay Packers.
The president of our Green Bay Packers will be on at 3 o'clock. So we thought we needed some room with Brad Sellers and Mark. So we're trying to move Brad to 235. Mark Murphy, the president of the Green Bay Packers, will be on with us at 3 o'clock.
Beautiful.
Now I don't know after that what we have.
Okay,
now,
after
I didn't touch, I didn't touch anything after that.
After that, okay.
You can go.
So at 3:45, 3:48, somewhere in that area, Matt Schneidman of the Athletic, Packers writer there, he'll join us talking about his piece on the newest Packers running back that they drafted, and some people's comparisons of what they think this kid's going to be. A.J. Dillon is just blows my mind when you start putting Pro Football Hall of Famers next to him and making that comparison. Seems rather crazy to me, but we'll talk to him about that coming up at 3:45. We're going to start off the show
okay,
with...
Now, Steve, here we go. I do have confirmation. Brad Sellers, 2:35 Central Time.
Perfect.
Nice. There it is.
So in about 30 minutes, we'll talk to Brad Sellers. Should owners open up their books in Major League Baseball, or should they just let the season be canceled? That is the conversation to start things off here at 2:00, and feel free to hop aboard 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Now, there have been some people that have come out not very happy, one of which is Max Scherzer, who has come out publicly and pretty much said that the players should not be even thinking about giving any more money back or taking any more pay cuts going forward. But, and I will read you Scherzer's comments here, there's, quote, there's no need to engage with Major League Baseball in any further compensation reductions. Throughout this process, they will be able to claim that they never had any profits because those profits went to pay off their loans. Talking about the Cubs was one of the ones that was brought up by Scott Boras and the Ricketts family and the redevelopment of Wrigley Field. However, the end result is that the Ricketts will own improved assets that significantly increase the value of the Cubs, value that is not shared with the players. Boras asked clients to please share this concept with your teammates and fellow players. Major League Baseball requests further concessions or deferral of salaries. Boras continued, make no mistake, owners have chosen to take on those loans because in normal times it is a smart financial decision. But these unnecessary choices have now put them in a challenging spot. Players should stand strong because players are not the ones who advised owners to borrow money to purchase their franchises, and players are not the ones who have benefited from the recent record revenues and profits. He added, salaries have been flat for several years. The opening day average has been in the area of $4.4 million range since 2016. Trevor Bauer, Cincinnati Reds pitcher, did not take kindly to Scott Boras sending this email out to all of his clients and said, quote, hearing a lot of rumors about a certain player agent meddling in MLBPA affairs. If true, and at this point, these are only rumors, I have one thing to say. Scott Boras, rep your clients however you want to, but keep your damn personal agenda out of union business. Boras declined to comment on Bauer's remarks about Scott Boras at this time. So there's a lot going on right now with this whole thing, and Scott Boras is just muddying the waters and pretty much saying the reason the MLB owners are in trouble is because all these loans they took out to redo their ballparks or to build new ballparks or whatever the case may be. And none of this is the player's problem. That is the owner's problem and not the player's problem. The players shouldn't back down from the owners in this situation. So the players have asked for the owners to open their books. Scott Boras is lying out. Even if they do open their books, it's going to show that they haven't made any money because of this. So the question is, should the owners open their books or should they just cancel the season because the players aren't willing to play ball and take more pay cuts? 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Gary, we'll start with you.
Well, I like Scott Boras because obviously he's on the player's side, right? And he's trying to let the fans know all the debt that the owners are incurring as well, which is, I think, it's a great situation. I mean, I think it's great for it to be out there because I think at the end of the day, when you look at the fans, they always come back to the players. And no one ever talks about the owners, how much money they're making. They're billionaires. And so these guys are making a lot of money. They'll never open their books, right? Why won't they open the books to the players? Because they really don't want their players to know how much they're making. Maybe it's not really the players. Maybe it's the fans. They probably really don't want the fans to know how much money they're really raking in. I mean, you look at some of these guys who have come in and bought franchises and how much money those franchises are worth right now. Of course, it's not fluid money. It's not real money until they sell it. But, they're making hand over fist once they sell these franchises they have bought for a pretty good price. So there's a lot of money to be made. There's money for the players to be made, but make no mistake about it. The money that the players are making are peanuts compared to the money that the owners are making. I think our fans need to know that. I get sick and tired of every time, you know, our fans, they come to the games and they talk about the players making big money, blah, 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 and all this stuff. They're not. They're not making big money. It's the guy up in the booth up there that's making all the money. They're working. I mean, they're working for someone. Those guys, and I mean, yeah, I mean, you hear guys like, you know, when Derek Jeter was in, you heard about him making a lot of money. Christian Yelich just signed a huge contract to keep it local right here in Brewers. Christian Yelich is taking a pay cut to stay here to be a Milwaukee Brewer. Oh, if Antonasio were to sell the Brewers, you think he's going to take a discount on the person that wants to buy the team? You think he's going to take less money? No. But the players are always asked to take less than what they're worth, than what they're getting. These guys who own these franchises never take discounts. They never take less money. And so, yeah, maybe I'm a little salty about it because I think no one ever talks about the players. I mean, we always talk about the players. No one ever talk about the owners and how much money those guys are making. Yeah, it will be great for those guys to open their books. But they're never going to open their books because they don't want you, the fans, to know how much money they're actually making, Steve.
And I think that's probably true. I think the problem is, and Boris laid it out, I should say. And I'm not a big Scott Boris guy. I never have been.
Never have been. But it's the truth.
But what Boris is saying is, you know, if they do open these books, Leroy, and you go to look at bottom line numbers of, see, we're not making any money, right? But when you look at the books, how much of that money is going to paying back the money that was borrowed to, you know, do the renovations to Wrigley Park, as he brought up, as the Ricketts family that owns that team. And remember, the Ricketts, they were at one point a minority owner in the Brewers. Back when I believe Bud Selig owned the team, they were a minority owner of the Brewers and then went off and took over the Chicago Cubs. So that money that they borrowed, now they're paying back, and they have to pay it so much back per month, so much back per year, whatever the case may be. And that goes into the year-to-year total. So they can, I mean, as Leroy has said time and time again, you can make any numbers look however you want to make them look if you try hard enough. So even if they do open the books, Leroy, there's still a chance that they may open the books, and all of a sudden, because of everything they got in there, yeah, we're not making any money. In fact, we're all losing money year to year. It's actually what's happening. Y'all are screwing us more than you even realize. But now, since you know, let's talk about pay reductions going forward in the new CBA after the 2021 season. So it's a dangerous game, I think, that both sides are playing on this deal. Because if they open up the books and somebody that knows something gets the chance to look at them, and can really break it all down and make that public knowledge, Leroy, that may be something that the owners do not want to have happen.
I would love for Intercon to pay all my loans. I mean, who do I send them to? you created them loans. You pay them.
Well, you guys send them to Billie Jean first, then she get it to the right people.
Yeah, I would love for that. But they're going to say, man, you know, we pay you some giblets. You pay it out them giblets. If something go wrong, it's on you. We don't care that you had 15 appearances canceled. It is what it is. Business is business. I think it's a slippery slope anytime. And we said this yesterday, Steve. We were talking to Tim, the baseball guy, who was scared to death to talk his side of the owners because he didn't want to offend me and Gary. So he robbed us of the great radio we could have had he just stood his ground and just tell us what he really think. But that's just the thing about Steve. That's why you love him, because he's just so respectful. But we did get a small rant out of him. I just think, and we talked about this yesterday, about the agents getting involved. You don't see a lot of that in the NFL when you come to these kind of things. But Scott Boras is your agent if you want to get paid, okay? If you want to get paid these max deals, these $300 million deals, you know, he's your guy. So he kind of knows what's going on. And if these guys borrow money, you remember when they said the Brewers were losing money? We had a whole show about it. I mean, we can make it look how you want it to look, or we can make it look like we're making a lot of money. But people say, well, you know, you're spending $60 million on a complex to upgrade it. I mean, do we need to just take a discount so you can pay for that? No, I just think that everybody needs to understand that it's already baked in that the players are going to look bad because this is how this stuff has been leaking out. So when Scott Boras even gets involved, it's a little bit of the players say, okay, stick it back to him, because this whole time that we've been made to look bad. Like, they put a 50-50 proposal out there, and we're the one holding it up. Matter of fact, Moreover, we had some calls yesterday. A couple of people said they wish the players would stop being greedy and play. One young man said he'd have played for free. But if the guy says, just like the young man with the Angels, one of the best center fielders, Mike Trout, they say he would have gone from $31 million to $8 million. I ain't playing. And then his wife has having a baby, so he may not even come back anyway. So if you ask anybody to take a cut, that's fine if you want to donate the money to charity. But I'm supposed to feel sorry for people who have surpluses. And now the top percent of the baseball players make them $20 and $30 million a year. It's a lot of guys that make on the lower end. On the lower end, they don't have it. They can't afford to take a lot of pay cuts. So if the money was going to them or to charity, I think the players would listen. But to take some of the money away to pay for loans that you, when you sign that bottom line, it's just your name and not mine, I don't understand how that's fair. But I don't want nobody looking at my books, other than the IRS, of course, and they have to mandate doing that, then somebody looking at somebody's books. So you have to have a trust factor there. I don't think there's ever going to be a trust factor when you say that I raised $800 million to $3 billion to buy a franchise just for fun.
Right.
You're not going to get a lot of sympathy.
No, a hobby.
Yeah,
a hobby.
Just something on the side. I put together a bunch of rich guys. Well, hey, man, we got a nice team.
Yeah.
I just did
it. A hobby.
You know, I don't think you get but for some reason, you get a lot of sympathy from fans. I think they forget about it. Because, you know why? Because, and I know I'm pro player, because our salaries are published all the time in the news, in the news media, or on, you know, platforms, because it's somewhat public knowledge. But the owners, what they make, other than the Green Bay Packers, and we have Mark Murphy on it at 3 o'clock, the Green Bay Packers ought to open their books wide open, because wide open, you can see everything. So you try to say, well, is every team getting this amount of money? And we'll never know. So baseball, they're in a tough stance right now to try to figure out how do you square this circle.
Well, the other thing in all of this is, you know, we talk about the Major League Baseball players and how this all benefits them or hurts them one way or the other. But how about all these employees that work for these teams in the summertime that count on this income, obviously, for themselves? And now a lot of these teams, as of June 1st or whatever, are furloughing or just getting rid of these guys going forward. Now, I believe it's the Marlins who came out and said they're paying all of their employees.
Good for them.
Through the summer like they normally would, regardless of what is going on, they're still going to pay them. Now, I don't believe that's true necessarily with our organization in this town and many other organizations around Major League Baseball. There'll be a lot of people that'll get furloughed as part of this deal or just let go in general. And nobody's fighting for those people's rights. Nobody's standing on a hill and clamoring, why aren't you paying them at the end of the day yet? Instead, you're having minor leaguers getting released all across baseball to save money, $50,000 a month, whatever the case may be, depending on how many players you're being released. Now, again, $50,000 a month, how much is that in the grand scheme of things for a billionaire owner? You probably say, well, yeah, that's nothing. What's the difference? Well, true, but when you're working within whatever budget is that you have set up and you can pinch a penny here or pinch a penny there, look, they're still in the business trying to make money year in and year out, regardless if there's a pandemic or not. No owner in baseball and no owner of any company across this country is purposely going to lose money if they don't have to. And that's no different from whoever is the owner of where you may work or whoever is the owner of where we may work or whoever is the owner of a baseball team, football team, or basketball team. They're all going to go about it the exact same way, and that is we're not going to lose money if we don't have to. And if it's going to come at the expense of everybody else around me, so be it. But it's all about me at the end of the day, the owner of the business or the franchise or whatever the case may be that we're talking about in day-to-day life. Should the owners open their books to the MLB players, or should they just let the season be canceled because they're not going to be able to come to an understanding between themselves and Major League Baseball? What say you? 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Interesting take from a freelance writer here in the area who brings up the 30 million people unemployed currently in this country and how this 41. Relates to Major League Baseball. 41, okay, so it's went up in the last hour. So we'll talk about his couple of his tweets that he just tweeted out a little while ago. That's coming up next here on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, and you, Mark Murphy, president and CEO of the Green Bay Packers, joins us coming up at 3 o'clock. Coming up in about 12 minutes or so, we'll be joined by the mayor. He actually is a mayor, but he is also known to be a former Badger, former Bulls, and NBA center. Brad Sellers will join us coming up. At 2:35 here on The Fan. Of course, he was part of those Bulls teams back in the day with Michael Jordan. And we'll get some of his thoughts on what he saw in the Last Dance documentary with Michael Jordan. And more outspoken stuff today on that from Kendrick Perkins, who just, you know, just likes talking about all that stuff. And he attacked Michael Jordan pretty good. Today on ESPN, we'll play some of that for Brad Sellers and see what Brad says to those comments by Kendrick Perkins coming up at 2:35. Right now, talking about Major League Baseball, as if you went to bed last night, probably feeling okay about Major League Baseball maybe coming up back, and then you wake up and you see the comments by Max Scherzer, you see this email that was leaked that Scott Boras sent to all of his players that he represents, and he represents some big-name players, one of which is Max Scherzer. And now all of a sudden, after reading all of that, you probably feel less optimistic, I guess would be the way to put it, about the baseball season coming back at this point. And here is some tweets to go along with it. Steven Tietze, who is a freelance writer here in the area, I think that's how you say his name, T-I-E-T-Z, tweeted out, let's keep shooting for the $300 million contracts. That's perspective in times of 30 million unemployed. Now, Leroy pointed out it's 41 million. I have no love for baseball owners, but since the early 1990s, I have seen Major League Baseball players become the greediest of all the major sports because of guys like Scott Boras. I would rather the greedy owners pay their minor league players for a full season, the rich MLB players to have some perspective, and then play games in front of empty stadiums like in Korea. Please give us some sports for the summer because everything else is gone. Or will be. Now, again, Gary, I think when you start getting into how many people are unemployed, how much money the players make and everything else, I think that gets into a little bit slippery of a slope.
Well, why though?
Because I think, I don't want to speak for Major League Baseball players, but I think for Major League Baseball players, I think they look at it and say, look, yeah, you don't make as much money as we do. And we understand that. But we're able to make as much money as we do because there's money there to be had through TV revenue, through ticket sales, and through everything else that goes along with it. So that's why we make what we make. And now they're coming and saying, well, okay,
stealing it.
We want you to take a pay cut. They agree to the pay cut. Now they come back later and say, well, that's not enough. We want you to take more of a pay cut at the end of the day. Now, part of this is Major League Baseball players not being happy with their collective bargaining agreement. That's probably part of what this is. Or they are happy with their collective bargaining agreement and view the owners of trying to switch around the collective bargaining agreement, which isn't up until December of 2021, and trying to get an upper hand on them and an edge to where if they give into what the owners want now, Gary, I think they feel like there's no turning back and they're going to be screwed into a deal that they don't want to be into at this point. And the guys that are the wealthiest of the wealthy, they can be fine not playing baseball this year. They could care less. But the guys that are at the bottom of the totem pole, and especially the minor league baseball players, they're the ones that are getting hurt the worst in all of this. I mean, they already don't get paid a lot of money. And I mean that in the sincerest of terms comparing to anybody else. They're not making a lot of money, period. They're doing this because they're trying to get to Major League Baseball, and that's where they hope they get their payday. Because otherwise, nobody would do this for the amount of money some of these lower-level minor league players are making. They're just not making anything. And now none of them are going to get paid, or they're going to have their jobs just cut all the way across the board, so they're going to be out of work. To me, I just don't think Major League Baseball, regardless of what happens, is going to come away from this situation anything better than worse than they were before the season started. They're in a bad situation. Even if they come to an agreement, there's still hostility and bitterness built up and is building between these two. So when that CBA comes up at the end of 2021, there is going to be an issue more than likely, because all of this is going to get brought back up again. If they don't come to resolution and they lose a season, that's going to be even worse than anything you possibly could have imagined. They've already went through losing a season and a World Series and everything again, so now you're going to lose another one. And regardless of who the bad guy looks to be, whether fans think it's the players or whether fans think it's the owners, it doesn't matter. You're still not going to have anything to talk about, and all of that is going to be gone. And now you're going to have to, the following year in 2021, try and figure out how to beg and get your fans back in the stands without giving away the tickets, which they're definitely not going to want to do that either.
And you're right, and that's why I don't understand. And Leroy is right. So we had a caller came on yesterday. He says, well, I do it for free. I'm tired of people saying that they do it for free. I mean, because maybe you would for maybe five or six games. Maybe you would do it for free for five or six games. And then you start striking out, you start struggling, and they call you into the office and say, hey, we need for you to work a little bit extra. We need for you to work harder. We need for you to come in a little early. And then we need to fly here, fly there, back to back. Yeah, you might do it for free for about 5 or 10 games. And then all of a sudden you see the owner driving the big Mercedes, the big Cadillac, or the big whatever, and he's up in the box up there. And then all of a sudden you wake up and go, are they making money off me? Because I'm doing it for free. That bothers me a little bit when people call in and say, I'll do it for free. Because the owners ain't doing it for free. Nobody's doing it for free. Nope. You might. Yeah, you might, because that's your dream and you wanted to do it. You want to be in a big league ballpark. But that ain't going to last for about 5 games. Maybe 10. Maybe you put up with 10. And then you start seeing what's going on around you. And you'll be like, is this some sort of slave mentality here? Where everybody's making money, but they're using me and I'm not really making what I'm supposed to be making. That's the whole problem I have, Steven. You're right. Then they got to come back to the table and renegotiate or negotiate a new contract or negotiate
new CBA.
New CBA, yep. Which they got to start all over again. And there's going to be some bad feelings amongst the fans. There's going to be some bad feelings amongst the union. And there's going to be some bad feelings amongst the owners. And they got to figure it out. But I just wish that the fans, to me, should be more on the side of the players, because the fans actually work for somebody. We work for somebody. If the owners say, well, I'll take a $100,000 pay cut. Whoopity-doo. That's like a dollar with the amount of money that they're making. But it looks good. So they're not really taking a pay cut. They're just making something to look good. And yeah, everybody's taking a pay cut, but it's all relative, though, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no question. I mean, people are losing their jobs. People are taking pay cuts and so forth. People that are on the front lines are getting way underpaid, as we've all talked about, healthcare workers and everything else. And firefighters are probably underpaid, and cops and everybody else that serves on the front lines that risk their lives are probably underpaid in the grand scheme of things. I think most people would agree with that compared to what these professional athletes are making. But a lot of times, Gary, a lot of these people don't want to hear about, you know, how much the players are making or whatever else, because they look at it and they say, dude, it's a game. I can go outside and shoot a basketball in my backyard. I can catch a football.
You're right.
I mean that's what it is. Like, man, whatever. Shut up. You get to play a game that we would all die to play, and you're sitting here arguing about millions of dollars because you can't survive and live on, you know, not. I read a thing that said the additional pay cut that they want them to take for a guy that's making like $30 or $35 million, that player would be losing, I want to say, like $9 or $10 million. for the season or whatever, if they were to take the pay cut that they're suggesting that they take. That the guys that are making the most money are going to be the ones that take the biggest hit. Well, the guys making the most money, most of, are represented by Scott Boras, and he is the one running this thing now.
71 of them.
Yeah.
71. He represents 71 guys. And see, the thing about the guy that said he'll play, for the problem is no one's going to pay to see you do it because you're no good.
That's this guy.
No one's going to pay to see you do it.
That's it. Home,
right? You can do it for free, but no one's going to pay to see you play. They want to see the people out there. So we got to get back to reality. And the young man who tweeted that or whatever, I would love for him to donate half of his salary to charity or wherever he works. Just give it away since it's that easy. Nobody can afford to take a pay cut, okay? Let's keep it 100, okay? But they don't have bailouts for players. They have it for companies. They don't have bailouts for people. Yeah, they throw people a little 1,200 to hold them for 15 seconds. But all the big companies get all that money because they got the reserves to do that. So, and to me, they shouldn't even be arguing like this in the media. This should be a lot of this stuff shouldn't even be leaked out. But if you're going to play 100 games, and I saw somewhere where they used Mike Trout to say, allegedly, he would go from $31 million to $8 million. I don't know nobody in their right mind that would do that. Nobody. And I don't think the union wouldn't even allow you to even want to do that. Because if something happens and they see these shows, okay, about players going broke, all the fans do is laugh. What did he do with all those millions of dollars? All this business all out over all the headlines. Fine. You don't really see that with these other big corporations, man. Like, it was a couple corporation, a big company filed for bankruptcy. It's not that big of a deal. But if one of the players filed for bankruptcy, oh, it's a big deal, okay? Because all those people that they got to pay, those people on unemployment. So my thing is, baseball, they may lose two seasons. Miss this season. And next season, they can't get along again. They miss two seasons.
Yeah, the owners could.
Nobody makes money.
Well, that's just it. The owners could lock them out next season. Then you create more problems. All right, coming up next, we'll get the latest on the COVID pandemic from CBS News. And then we'll be joined by Brad Sellers, not only a former NBA player for the Chicago Bulls, played for the Badgers back in the day, also the mayor of Warrensville Heights, Ohio. I'm not sure we've had too many mayors on this show. We'll talk to him coming up next and get his thoughts on the Last Dance documentary since he was on those early teams with Michael Jordan. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, former Packer and Badger running back, Leroy Butler, inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist, former Packer safety with us too as we broadcast live from the G. Wagner Plumbing Studios. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com for all of your plumbing needs. Joining us now, he is the mayor of Warrensville Heights, Ohio. Played for the Bulls back in the day with Michael Jordan, and we all watched that whole thing play out, the Last Dance documentary, and of course the Badgers as well back before that. Brad, thanks so much for coming on. Appreciate it. You know, Brad, the first thing I guess I want to get out here is your thoughts on what you made of the Last Dance documentary. I'm assuming you probably watched a good portion of it, if not all of it, and how Michael Jordan kind of depicted that whole time frame.
Well, first of all, let me first say thank you for having me. Thank you for allowing me to join in with you guys for a few seconds. To my main man, Gary Ellison, GE, Badgers in the building.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to throw up.
Oh, stop, Leroy.
Badgers in the building, GE.
Yeah. Leroy.
Brad, you don't want that on your resume, trust me. Yeah, Leroy.
Leroy, why did he lead the Badgers, Leroy? You know why.
They couldn't afford to pay him no more. You know why he didn't get them two tractors he wanted, man. You know why. Come on.
That's the Leroy Butler I know.
It's allegedly, Brad. It's allegedly. We're all good. My brother, glad to have you.
Good to be here. So here, let me just jump in. So, you know, I watched every episode of The Last Dance. You know, I think every Bull that I know watched every episode of Last Dance. One, because we know how great Michael was, right? That we knew, right? I mean, if you were around it, you knew it. I mean, it didn't take long. It didn't take you weeks to know and figure it out. Second thing was, we watched it, you know, for the entertainment value because it was good. The other thing we watched it for was to make sure, and Leroy and Gary can attest to this, you know, after years go by, facts get distorted. They really get distorted.
That's true.
Right? So we want to make sure that this thing remains accurate. And the last reason, and Leroy and Gary can attest to this, you've been in the business for a long time. You make sure nobody put a knife in nobody's back around here.
That's true.
We watched it like that. So you had a bunch of people watching it for a various amount of reasons here. And everybody didn't come away happy, right? And so, but to my point, I enjoyed it. It was accurate. The only part that I really felt that really didn't get played out, right? Because you have to know Michael. Right? Some of the stuff they depicted Michael as like he was this a-hole, right? But he wasn't. He got a dry sense of humor. And what you saw him going at people, what they did not show on the flip side was how people went back at him. So the back and forth you saw, that's how guys were just talking to one another. It's just what they were doing to motivate themselves, doing practices, games and whatnot. And sometimes it got out of hand, sometimes it didn't. But for me, it was all in good spirit.
Okay, so I'm glad you said that because Kendrick Perkins was on ESPN this morning talking about this whole Michael Jordan and whether or not he wanted Isaiah Thomas to play on the Dream Team or not. And then the audio leaks that apparently they have him on the phone saying he didn't want Isaiah Thomas on the Dream Team. So Kendrick Perkins said this.
Free Zeke. What is the problem with Isaiah Thomas? Isaiah Thomas is a great individual. And to me, you know what it is? They had a problem with Isaiah Thomas' competitive nature. He was the ultimate competitor. That's the only way I see them keeping him off the Dream Team. Now, and saying that they didn't want to play with him. Now, here's my thing. The last documentary was the best sports documentary that I ever saw. But it was one thing I took away from it. It was full of lies, and it was full of snitching. And when we look at Michael Jordan, and I'm glad he's not my GOAT. LeBron James is my GOAT, but that's y'all GOAT. He lied. He threw everybody under the bus. At the end of the day, the last dance was to make MJ look like a superhero and make everybody else look like a villain. If you go down the line, Scottie Pippen is pissed off. Horace Grant is pissed off. Isaiah Thomas is pissed off. And then, God rest his soul, Jerry Krause wasn't even here to defend himself. And I talked to so many people that knew Jerry Krause, and they was like, Jerry Krause wasn't that bad of a guy. He should have got more credit than what he did. Well, it's more credit than what they gave him on The Last Dance. But they made him out to be this bad individual when he actually did a really good job at being a general manager. So at the end of the day, I'm just happy that LeBron James is my GOAT. Y'all could deal with MJ and all his lies, but LBJ is my GOAT, and I'm happy to be part of Team James.
All right, Brad Sellers, what do you say to that?
Well, here, so you know, Kirk much younger than I am, right? So I don't think here. Let me tell you, I can comment on from so many different angles, right? One, I played with Michael. I played with Isaiah. So I was on with the Bad Boys. I was with the Bulls. So. And I can tell this because I'm on record with ESPN already saying this. If there are some things that went on in the past, right? Some of them got alluded to, right? And it started with the All-Star snub when Michael was a rookie. That's when it started, right? And there was a different time, right? Because you didn't have guys slipping jerseys like they do now, right? If I was a Celtic, I was a Celtic forever. If I was a Cavalier, I'm a Cavalier forever, right? I'm a Bull, and those rivalries got established. So you have Michael basically coming to Isaiah's hometown in Chicago, right? And Isaiah, who is a legend in Chicago, his thing gets obliterated by the new kid in town, basically, right? And then so when they get in a competitive atmosphere, right, there's a rivalry set up between Jordan and Isaiah, right? Let me say this about both of them, right? Because I know them both well. They both are my friends, right? If they were in a different environment, they would be friends with one another because you would love to play with one another. They're the same person. They are the same attributes that one has, the other one has, right? And have they done things that they probably wish that they wouldn't have done? Absolutely. But what man that walks this world isn't? Right? Mm. And so in this case here, we talk about the greatest of all time. I'm from Cleveland. So LeBron is right down the road. I broadcast for the Cavaliers, right? LeBron James is a great talent. Great talent. But he ain't that MJ. He ain't that Black Cat. Mm. He is not that Black Cat. And I've been around to see them all. The only ones I missed was Russell, right? Because I caught Wilderness tail end watching him. I played against Kareem. I've seen them all, right? That Black Cat is the baddest of them all. He is, right? Now, does he got some stuff with him? Yeah, he got some stuff with him. But who don't have some stuff with him, right? You can't get to a level like that without having some stuff with you, right? What he did in the documentary, hell, he's the executive producer. You know it's going to be slanted to his look. Right? So I look at Tiff. I like, you know, they all, they got a point to a degree, right? Right? So Pip's thing, when I take it from Pip's thing is, you know, you highlighted my bad stuff. What about my good stuff, right? Well, they ain't got that kind of time because this is Michael's show. This is not Pip's show, right? And so Grant, Horace and Mike been going at it for years. For years, right? That didn't just start, like, in the last dance. That started, like, year one, right? And it just built up over time, right? Because Michael has a sense of humor that is very cynical, right? And he just picks at you, right? Some people can take it. Some people can't take it, right? And some people can go back at him, right? And it just used to always get under Horace's skin. That's what happened over time, right?
So then, Brad, they also, and I don't know if it's true or not, but then they also said that Michael Jordan wanted someone other than you to be drafted when drafted you. Is that true?
Yeah, that was true. Who's his G?
This GE, yeah.
That was true. He wanted Johnny Dawkins. They was represented by the same guy, David Falk, right?
Whoa.
Johnny Dawkins didn't have no better career than I had. I mean, we both in the same boat. Right? We both in the same boat. And that's not taking anything against Johnny. You know, in professional sports, there's one thing. You got to be in the right system for your style, right? Now, you talk about Kendrick was talking about Perkins, right? I mean, Kendrick was talking about Krause. So when I'm drafted out of Ohio State, right, because my numbers were solid. They were more than solid, right? So when I got drafted to Chicago, I really was trying to get to Cleveland. Who had to pick before me, and I was trying to come home, Gary, all the way home, right? And so I got to Chicago. I wasn't following the Bulls like that. So I got there, and I was like, okay, it's going to be okay situation. But I walked into the buzzsaw because what they were looking for in Chicago, they had been trying to get Johnny Dawkins in the draft. So when I walked in that day, when they pulled my number, I walked into a whole nother setup. I walked into the scenario. Jerry Krause tells me, he said, well, I draft you. He said, we about to change the game. This game is about to change. He tells me, Leroy, he tells me this. You're going to be the prototypical small forward in this league. You're going to be a 7-foot-tall small forward out here. That's where this league is going. That's what he told me in 86, Leroy. Now, where is that league now?
That's where it's at now.
That's where it's at now. So all the stuff I had in my back pocket, they wouldn't buy it in 86, but they buying it now.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things, because I know you're a mayor now, and I know our politics plays a big part of sports, Brad, but, you know, it's just the part of it that they cover with Michael and his mom want him to support the Democrat locally, and he didn't want to do that. His mom and dad tried to get him to do it, but he just sent the young man some money.
Yeah.
So he wanted to kind of stay out of it, you know, out of politics, you know, because... Like the young man who passed away up in Minneapolis, Michael Jordan ain't touching none of that. But you see LeBron James and some of the other guys doing that. How did players look at him back then? Was that what the whole thing? He wouldn't, like, political things, he wouldn't do that, especially when he said Republican buy shoes as well.
Yeah, well, like I said, Leroy, there's some things that you do in life that sometimes you wish you had done. And when he said it, he was being the smart aleck guy that I know, right?
That's exactly right.
It wasn't a real statement, right? But you have to know him. He and I have had some real conversations about real things, right? When I tell you, that young man comes from good people. You know how some people come from good parents?
Yep.
That's who he is. He's a guy that comes from good parents, right? And so when you look around, he never, and you can look, go back and check it, he's a non-controversial guy. Controversy and him don't go together. They try to stay away from one another, right? And so in some of these things, he's out here, because look, he's from Wilmington, North Carolina, right? And so he's so used to doing his thing. When you get out here in a platform that he had the ability, because you have a high profile, to weigh in on some things. Well, he didn't like to weigh in on. That just wasn't his style. That's just who he wasn't. You couldn't make him be that guy, right? That's one thing I love about LeBron James. He don't care. He don't weigh in on it, right? And these and even these younger players now, because their world is different. Twitter, IG, you can just weigh in on things instantaneously. That's all they know, right? Back in our day, they wasn't doing that. Because, here, first of all, they weren't making long money like that, right? So the first thing was always like, I got this check coming. I want to keep it coming, right? And so when you sitting out here making $30 million a year, $35 million a year, you can weigh in as much as you want to now, because it's not going to impact you.
Right, no doubt about it. Now, I told these guys real quick now that you and I used to hang out back in the day when you played for the Bulls down at Chicago Stadium, Brad.
I still don't believe it.
There's no question, Gary.
There we go.
So that's true? That's true, Brad?
Oh,
come on, man.
Look, Gary and them helped raise me in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay, he's gonna run with this. Brad. That's a drop.
Well, hold on one second. First of all,
be playing that all day.
First of all, on behalf of Leroy, myself, and the Big Show, we apologize. Second of all, I just wanted, were you at the party that Gary claims he was at years ago with Eddie Murphy?
I wasn't at the party with Eddie Murphy.
No, I didn't think so. I just check it. I was just doing a fact check, and that's all.
But I tell you, it was, I'll tell you this was the thing, right? When we all were in Wisconsin, we were all from different parts of the country, right? And it was a very small minority community in Madison at the time. And we just all bonded together from all different sections of the world, right? And so I would just tell you, those friendships last forever. And one thing I love about the people in Wisconsin that I went to school with, they're true people. I still call them friends to this day, right? Even they supported me when I was there. They supported me when I left. When I came back to Madison on the tour for the Buckeyes to play the Badgers, they were there to support me, right? Those are my people, right? And I tell people here at Ohio State, Leroy and Gary knows this. I tell people this. I spent 2 good years in Madison, right? And I tell Ohio State faithful, you're not going to discount them 2 years at all. I'm half Badger, half Buckeye.
And we're proud to have you as half Badger. Hey, Brad, thanks so much for coming on. The mayor of Warrensville Heights, Ohio, of course.
Thank you so much,
former Badger, Buckeye, and Bull, and NBA center. Brad, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. Leroy, let me take the Lambo League with you, baby.
Come on with it, my brother. You 7 feet. You can get it done now.
There he is, Brad Sellers on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline here on The Fan. As your passion outgrown your home, a Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. Up next, the Packer president and CEO Mark Murphy joins the Wendy's Big Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.